The Supreme Grand Master knew that he had them, though. Sheep and lamb, sheep and lamb. Since they couldn't do anything much worse than they had already done, they might as well press on and damn the world, and pretend they'd wanted it like this all along. Ugh, the joy of it. Only Brother Plasterer was actually happy. "Let that be a lesson to all oppressive vegetable sellers," he kept saying.
"Yes, said Brother Doorkeeper, "only the thing is, there's no chance of us sort of accidentally summoning the dragon here, is there?"
We have it under perfect control," said the Supreme Grand Master smoothly. "The power is ours, I can assure you." The brothers cheered up a little bit. "And now," the Supreme Grand Master continued, "there is the matter of the king." The brothers looked solemn, except for Brother Plasterer. "Have we found him, then?" he said. "That's a stroke of luck."
"You never listen, do you?" snapped Brother Watchtower. "It was all explained last week. We don't go around finding anyone. We make a king."
"I thought he was supposed to turn up because of destiny," Brother Watchtower sniggered.
"We sort of help destiny along a bit."
The Supreme Grand Master smiled in the depths of his robe. It was amazing, this mystic business. You tell them a lie, and then when you don't need it any more, you tell them another lie, and tell them they're progressing along the road to wisdom. Then instead of laughing, they follow you even more, hoping that at the heart of all the lies they'll find the truth. And bit by bit, they accept the unacceptable. Amazing.
"Bloody hell, that's clever," said Brother Doorkeeper. "How do we do that, then?"
"Look, the Supreme Grand Master said what we do. We find some handsome lad who's good at taking orders. He kills the dragon, and Bob's your uncle. Simple, much more intelligent than waiting for a so-called real king."
"But," Brother Plasterer seemed deep in the toils of celebration, "if we control the dragon, and we do control the dragon, right, then we don't need anyone killing it. We just stop summoning it, and everyone will be happy, right?"
"Oh, yes," said Brother Watchtower nastily. "I can just see it, can't you? We just trot out and say, 'Hello, we won't set fire to your houses any more. Aren't we nice, do we?' The whole point about the thing with the king is that he'll be a sort of
undeniably potent and romantic symbol of absolute authority," said the Supreme Grand Master smoothly.
"That's it," said Brother Watchtower. "A potent authority."
"Oh, I see," said Brother Plasterer. "Right. Okay. That's what the king'll be."
"That's it," said Brother Watchtower.
"No one going to argue with a potent authority, are they?"
"Too right," said Brother Watchtower.
"Stroke of luck, then, finding the true king right now," said Brother Plasterer. "Million to one chance, really." "We haven't found the right king. We don't need the right king," said the Supreme Grand Master wearily. "For the last time, I've just found us a likely lad who looks good in a crown and can take orders and knows how to flourish a sword. Now, just listen."
Flourishing, of course, was important. It didn't have much to do with wielding. Wielding a sword, the Supreme Grand Master considered, was simply the messy business of dynastic surgery. It was just a matter of thrust and cut. Whereas a king had to flourish one. It had to catch the light in just the right way, leaving watchers in no doubt that here was destiny's chosen. He'd taken a long time preparing the sword and shield. It had been very expensive. The shield shone like a dollar in a sweep's ear hole, but the sword was magnificent. It was long and shiny. It looked like something some genius of metalwork, one of those little Zen guys who works only by the light of dawn and can beat a club sandwich of folded steels into something with the cutting edge of a scalpel and the stopping power of a sex-crazed rhinoceros on bad acid, had made and then retired in tears because he'd never, ever do anything so good again. There were so many jewels on the hilt, it had to be sheathed in velvet. You had to look at it through smoked glass. Just laying a hand on it practically conferred kingship. As for the lad, he was a distant cousin, keen and vain and stupid in a passably aristocratic way, Currently he was under guard in a distant farmhouse with an adequate supply of drink and several young ladies, although what the boy seemed most interested in was mirrors. Probably hero material, the Supreme Grandmaster thought glumly.